ॐ भगवते वासुदेवाय. रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 10. दस्योन्पुराशन्न विजेत्य लुम्पटो मन्यन्त एके स्वजिता दिशो दिश. जितात्मनोज्ञस्य समस्य देहिना साधो स्वमोह प्रभवा कुतः परे. दस्योन्पुराशन्न विजेत्य लुम्पटो मन्यन्त एके स्वजिता दिशो दश. जितात्मनोज्ञस्य समस्य देहिना साधो स्वमोहं प्रभवा कुतः परे. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. These fools were very proud, thinking, I have conquered all enemies in all the 10 directions. But if a person is victorious over the six enemies and is equipoised towards all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. Purport. In this material world, everyone thinks that he has conquered his enemies, not understanding that his enemies are his uncontrolled mind and 5 senses. Manah shashthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. In this material world, everyone has become a servant of the senses. Originally, everyone is a servant of Krishna, but in ignorance, one forgets this, and thus one is engaged in the service of Maya through lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. Everyone is actually dependent on the reactions of material laws. But still one thinks himself independent and thinks that he has conquered all directions. In conclusion, one who thinks that he has many enemies is an ignorant man. Whereas one who is in Krishna consciousness knows that there are no enemies but those within oneself, the uncontrolled mind and senses. So, very nice to be back here amongst all the devotees, seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, to speak something on this beautiful section from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj is very boldly preaching to his father, Hiranyakashipu, the ultimate truth. And in this particular verse, he is describing how the ultimate enemy is one's own mind and senses. So the process of engaging one's mind and senses in Krishna's service is devotional service. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate. So when we practice devotional service, then there are 3 very powerful obstacles which we will discuss today. And a devotee who is practicing sadhana bhakti has to overcome the challenges coming from these obstacles in order to attain Krishna's lotus feet. Obstacles are many, but we'll discuss 3. So the first is sense gratification. Sense gratification. So we can see that the senses need satisfaction. Prabhupada said, you cannot stay without satisfying the senses. But real sense gratification means when the senses are engaged blissfully in Krishna's service. And when the senses try to enjoy independent of Krishna, Atmendriya Prativancha Tare Bole Kam. That is known as lusty desires. So here we have the example of very wonderful associate of Lord Kalakrishna Das. He was associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu was about to embark on South India tour. So Nityananda Prabhu requested Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to carry a servant with him, because he said that your hands will be continuously engaged in chanting the holy name. So Mahaprabhu took Kalakrishna Das along with him. So when he went to South India, then Kalakrishna Das was trapped by a group of tribals. They were known as Bhattaharis. And he indulged in sense gratification. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had to go running behind his servant and get him back. Mahaprabhu had to become the servant of his servant. He had to protect him from this material nature. So in this particular pastime, Prabhupada writes in the purport that here is Kalakrishna Das who was traveling with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a direct witness to so many souls, millions of souls Mahaprabhu delivered in his South India tour. And Kalakrishna Das was a direct witness of the transcendental ecstasy which all of these souls were completely inundated with. But in spite of that, the material energy is so strong that one can get trapped at any moment. So Prabhupada says, Maya is so strong that if one is not determined not to fall victim, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot do anything. So here is a classic example of how the senses need constant engagement. And that is the first principle as far as sense gratification is concerned, that the engagement must be proper. If you are not engaged properly, the senses will seek various other kinds of engagement and one will get distracted. The second principle within the sense gratification is that although the senses are engaged in various ways, but we should be aware that Krishna consciousness means constant engagement of the senses in Krishna's service. Because we are so much used to the concept of relaxing, the material world works on the principle of work hard and then relax. Work hard and then relax. So many people, if you ask, they will say that the goal of my life is ultimately to work, and then I'll have a house somewhere in the mountains, the nice valley, rivers flowing and flowers blooming, and I don't have to do anything. Someone told Srila Prabhupada that the concept of retirement here is that after retirement they go to the golf course and they spend the whole day playing golf. And Prabhupada said, they are still working hard to put the ball in the hole. So you cannot stop work, you cannot stop engagement. So in the 10th canto, when Krishna, as a small child, is playing, begins his childhood play, Kalena Vrajata Alpena, Kalena Vrajata Alpena, just after a short time, Rama and Krishna, both Krishna and Ram, start playing. Gokule Rama Keshavo. So both of them are crawling, they are not even able to walk. So at that time, it is described that these childhood pastimes of Krishna were witnessed by the gopis. Yari angana darshaniya kumara lilau antar vrajeta dabla pragrahita puchhai vatsai itas tata ubhav anukrishyamano prekshant ujjahita griha jahrusur hasantya. So these cowherd ladies, these various gopis would see that Krishna and Balram are catching on to the calves' tails. And the tails, you know, as soon as the tails would be caught, the calves would feel scared and they would run. And Krishna and Balram would not be able to leave those tales because of fear. And they would not know what to do. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-knowing personality, who is the propounder of the Vedic literatures, who gives ultimate knowledge, apparently behaves in ignorance, and all he has to do is leave that. But he is just being dragged. And all along the mud of Braja, he is being dragged by the calves. So both Krishna and Balram are playing like this. So, Vatsai itastata ubha anukrishyamano, he is being helplessly dragged, and prekshant ujjahita griha, all of the cowherd ladies, the gopis, they give up all of their household duties because these pastimes are so attractive, and they come and witness these pastimes and start smiling and laughing. So therefore, as soon as the gopis, they have a relationship with Krishna, they enjoy this relationship very much. They enjoy witnessing these pastimes. And any relationship with Krishna immediately gives you entrance into a whole range of different pastimes and experiences. So the gopis are blissful in this experience of Krishna's pastimes. And they are getting entrance into those pastimes. So therefore, Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So as soon as we start the process of devotional service, we can experience the cessation of miseries and some kind of joy arises. But immediately in the next verse it is described, Shringi Agni Damstri Asijala Dvijakantakebhya Krida Parau Atichalo Swasutau Nishedhum. The gopis would also see that the same restlessness of Krishna and Balram, which was a cause of great joy, would also give rise to other situations where Krishna and Balram would see a horned animal, like for example a cow or a bull with horns, and they would want to go and catch that, Shringi. Or Agni, they would see the fire in the stove or Sigiri, and they would want to go and catch. Krishna would think, this is a very attractive object, I should take it. Damstri, and they would see the sharp teeth of various monkeys and dogs, and they would very fearlessly go and want to feed them. Jala, or water pots filled with water. And Krishna and Balram were so small, they would go and try to see what is there inside. And there was always a fear that they would fall into that. Dvija, various birds which have claws. Kantakebhya, and various kinds of thorns lying on the ground. And they would be so restless. Krida parau means dedicated to play. Literally that means krida parayan, means completely dedicated to simply playing day and night. Atichalau, very restless. Swasutau nishedhum. So both Rohini and Mother Yashoda would try to stop Krishna and Balram from getting into all of these troubles. Because they found that we have to protect Krishna from all of these situations. And because of this, Grihyani Kartum Api Yatrana Tat Jananyo, they would not be able to perform their household activities because of this also. So it is not that they would give up their household activities simply to come and see Krishna and Balram playing the pastimes and enjoy Krishna and Balram's association. They were in the mood of serving Krishna and Balram. So in both of the verses, we find that they could not perform any of the household activities, either because Krishna's pastimes were so attractive or because they were in so much of anxiety that Krishna and Balram would get into this trouble. So in the mood to protect them, they would be constantly engaged. Therefore, Shekat Apatur Alam, he says, Shukadeva Goswami says, Shekat apatur alam manaso anavastham. This means, very, very beautiful translation Prabhupada gives, that all of these disturbances which Krishna and Balram were indulging in, it was putting Yashoda and Rohini in great amount of distress and anxiety. So there is distress, there is anxiety, and there is disturbance. And these are things which normally a person wants to avoid in life. If you ask anyone, what do you want? You say, peace. We want peace. We want some shanti. But distress and anxiety was an integral part of the life of the gopis in Vrindavan in relationship with Krishna, as much as there was joy. But Prabhupada says in this translation, there was distress and anxiety, but at the same time, manaso anavastham, they were experiencing equilibrium, total mental equilibrium. They were equipoised in the ecstasy of this anxiety and distress in relationship with Krishna. So in one line, all of these apparently contradictory principles are mentioned together. There is disturbance, there is distress and anxiety, giving rise to equanimity and ecstasy, which normally nobody can reconcile. And therefore, Krishna consciousness is a very, very deep and wonderful science of how we can serve Krishna and give pleasure to Krishna. And it is not a process of trying to get something for oneself in terms of peace or freedom from misery or distress. So, when the senses are constantly engaged like this, then the constant engagement in Krishna consciousness means that we have to be engaged in Krishna's service in various ways. As soon as we give a reprieve, then there is a danger that we'll get trapped. And therefore, Prabhupada has created such a wonderful society so that we can get connected with all of these activities. And sometimes we feel that I should only do limited amount of activities. I should do limited service, limited sadhana. Everything should be limited only. If I do too much, it is not good. Like, for example, one time Brahmanand Prabhu visited one temple and they had the devotees who were serving him. And this devotee had for prasad in two hands. In one hand he had a cake and in another hand he had an apple pie. You know, both very delicious looking and big sized. And Brahmanand Prabhu is also big sized. So he came to Brahmanand Prabhu and said, Prabhu, which one you would like? The apple pie or the cake? And Brahmanand Prabhu gave a very philosophical answer. I mean, we would have just said, okay, give me. He said, whenever I ask Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, should I do this project or should I do this project? Prabhupada would say, both. So that servant got the idea and he just kept it. So Srila Prabhupada engaged devotees in a lot of services. And we should, when it comes to service, we should understand that it is an opportunity for us to engage our senses to please Krishna. So rather than holding back, we should be eager for more. And therefore, gratitude and service attitude, these two principles can actually give rise to proper feelings of satisfaction and joy, even in the practice of Krishna consciousness. So this is the first principle, which is engagement, proper engagement. Second is the principle of encouragement. The senses are engaged in Krishna's service, but still the nature of the senses is it gets distracted. And when senses get distracted, we feel discouraged. And we feel, does the process work? How long is it going to take before my senses can ultimately be engaged in the Lord's service? When will I feel that attraction towards Krishna? So when we hear, you know, all of these songs of the great acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Amito Kamera Dasa and all of these, it is simply in that mood. He is feeling so lowly and in the mood of dainya he is expressing that. And we get encouragement that, okay, we have a long way to go. So it is not that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has that problem or he is in difficulty. But it is just the mood, and we are constantly in that mood of seeking Krishna's shelter. So when Krishna is playing along with his cowherd boys on the bank of river Yamuna, this is just before the Brahma Vimohan Leela. So as everyone knows that Brahmaji stole the calves. So suddenly the cowherd boys realized that the calves are missing, and they were in anxiety. And Krishna saw that they are in anxiety, and he could realize that it is because the calves are missing. So in that particular section it is described, Tan drishtva bhaya santrastan uche krishnosya bibhayam mitrani ashan ma viramata ihan eshya vatsakan. Tan drishtva. So Krishna sees the cowherd boys that they are in anxiety. Why? Because the calves are missing. And for the cowherd community, the calves and cows means it is wealth. So when we hear of calves and cows or milk or butter or yogurt, it doesn't create so much seriousness. You know, if someone says that a pot of butter or, you know, a few liters of milk fell down, then okay, we'll buy more, no problem. But if someone says someone took your car away, so they say, come on, that is serious. You know, someone has your credit card and is using it freely, so that is like serious. So because for us, the money represents possession. So therefore, when the calves and cows are missing, means they are in great anxiety. So, tan drishtva bhaya santrastan. Seeing them in that fear, uche, Krishna spoke to them, bhi bhayam. So Krishna is described as that personality by seeing whom even fear personified is afraid. And what does Krishna say? Mitrani ashan. My dear friends, you continue eating here. Everyone is sitting around Krishna and eating. And they are all offering to Krishna and also eating the prasad. Mitrani ashan. Please continue eating here. Ma viramata. Do not stop your engagement. Whatever engagement you are engaged in right now, continue eating. Ihan eshe vatsakan aham. I will go and get those calves for you. You don't worry. So in this way, Prabhupada writes in that purport that when Krishna wants to control the material energy, he just does it through Maya Devi. Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. So control and activities of the material nature are conducted through the material energy. Krishna doesn't bother. But when his devotees are in distress, Krishna himself takes the responsibility and he says, Ihan Eshya Vatsakanaham. I will go and get the calf. I will solve this problem. When Krishna wants to create problem, he does it through material energy. But when Krishna wants to solve the problem for his devotees, and only for devotees problems are ultimately solved, Krishna personally does it. So therefore Krishna personally goes and takes the responsibility of getting the calves back. So therefore, Mitrani Ashan Ma Viramata Ihan Eshye. Another very interesting point, I was hearing one lecture in Vrindavan by Radha Govinda Maharaj, and he was saying that Krishna was telling the cowherd boys that even if the calves wander, I will go and get them back. So Govinda means Krishna, who gives pleasure to the cows and the calves and the senses. So go also means senses. So even if the senses wander, ultimately I will go and get them back. You do not give up practicing the process. You simply continue what you are doing. I take the responsibility of ultimately bringing the senses under control. Do not feel discouraged and give up your activities. Do not feel discouraged and think that I need to take shelter of some other process to make my Krishna consciousness perfect. And that is how the mind first gives suggestion. But even if there is a difficulty, even if the senses wander, we have to continue serving Krishna Keep chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So by this, gradually the senses come under control, and then we will actually experience the reciprocation with the Lord. Just like sometimes when a servant doesn't behave properly, or if a child doesn't behave properly, then a superior or a parent or a guardian resorts to a standard technique for disciplining and making his ward or dependent serious, and that is neglect. So when you feel someone is misbehaving and you want to correct behavior, then one of the techniques used is neglect. So when you have a relationship with someone and suddenly that person starts neglecting, you get the message something is wrong. So similarly, when we commit offenses towards Krishna or his devotees or towards the holy name, then sometimes one of the ways we get the message, the holy name resorts to this particular technique, the holy name starts neglecting us. And then when the holy name starts neglecting, then we start suffering and we experience there is some problem. But ultimately, we have to re-establish our relationship, and in due course of time, we experience the taste in Krishna consciousness again. So it is not that when we lose the taste or there is difficulty, we stop the process, deviate from the process, or add something else from outside which is not part of bhakti to enhance, but we simply continue. That's the whole idea. Just like a few months back, I had gone to Chennai and I had taken Govind Prabhu with me. And there were so many members of my family. I had arranged a program for all of them, 50, 60 of them. And they were very disturbed when I joined the Hare Krishna movement many years back. So Govind Prabhu began the talk by saying that how if a person from one family joins the Hare Krishna movement and he perfects his life till the very end, then not only him but his entire family is delivered and gets an opportunity to go to the spiritual world. And there was like a big smile on everyone's face. And after the talk, they all came to me and said, continue. If you have any problem, let us know. But sorry that we had all of these things in the beginning, but we didn't know there were so many benefits. And one of my cousins, he came up and said, one more thing I realized, that since you are doing it, I don't have to do it now. So the senses need continuous engagement, and at the same time, we need encouragement from devotees and from other sources to continue on this path. Just like Krishna is encouraging the cowherd boys that everything will be all right, I will take care. So this is an important principle. Like I met one person in America, and he was telling me, he was an Indian student, and he said how he became a devotee was, he was playing volleyball in his college. And in one of the teams, there was one gentleman who whenever he would smash the ball or something would go wrong, he would shout, Hari Bol. So he was like a devotee, practicing a few rounds, chanting a few rounds, other person. So when he heard that repeatedly, what is he shouting, you know, every time? And many times when he would do that, he would try to hear but carefully, but couldn't realize what it was. But he found that the other team was winning. So at the end of the game, he went and asked him that, I think it's because of what you're shouting that you're winning this. What is that? And he said, this is Hari Bol, and I'm so much into Hare Krishna that I cannot stop chanting the holy names. And previously I would shout some other slogans, but now I've converted to this in frustration or in joy. So therefore, this is the way to chant. And he taught him how to chant Hare Krishna. And he's now chanting 16 rounds of the holy name and associating with devotees. So some contact with devotee in some way creates transformation. And then after that initial contact, to keep on steady on that path, we require a lot of association and encouragement in the association of devotees. And another very important principle is eagerness. That the eagerness to engage our senses in Krishna's service comes with the faith that yes, Krishna cares for us. The eagerness to participate in the process of bhakti comes from the understanding and knowledge that yes, Krishna is more than eager to reciprocate and help us. So Krishna kidnaps Rukmini, and Rukmini is sitting on the chariot, and at that point, Shishupal, Jarasan, and all of these forces, the armies, are attacking Krishna's army. So Krishna has arranged for Balramji to bring the army from Dwarka, and the whole army of Dwarka is clashing vigorously against these armies of the demons. And they're all full-blooded Kshatriyas fighting. And Krishna and the beautiful Rukmini, who is so soft and delicate, she's in the middle of these millions of Kshatriyas fighting like hell. So you can imagine what she must be going through in the middle of the chariot. And obviously there is a whole expression of fear upon her face. So seeing that, Krishna wants to reassure her. Prahasya Bhagavan chaha ma asmabhair vama lochane vinangshati adhuna etat tavakai kshatravam balam. Krishna says, prahasya, the verse begins with the word prahasya. Prahasya means with a slight smile upon his face. So Krishna wants to encourage Rukmini, but part of encouraging with words is also the body language. Right? You could be speaking some encouraging words, but like if the face is completely withdrawn, then the person is confused whether you are encouraging or discouraging. So there should be a match between what's coming out of the mouth and how the face looks. So Krishna can see that she's in great anxiety. So the first thing Krishna does even before speaking is Krishna smiles reassuringly. Prahasya. Bhagavan chaha. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, speaks. Ma asma bhair. Vama lochane. O beautiful eyed Rukmini, do not fear. Ma asma bhair. Do not fear. Vinangshati adhuna. Right now, all of these armies of the enemies of Jarasandh, Shishupal, they will be destroyed. Who will destroy? Tavakai kshatravam balam. The enemy forces, the balam, the power of the enemies, kshatravam, of the shatrus, will be destroyed right now. By whose armies? Tavakai. Tavakai means your. Your armies will destroy. So in the purport, if you see in the 10th canto purport, we'll find a very beautiful explanation. I think Hridayanand Maharaj and others, they quote Sridhar Swami, who says that the word Tavakai is used by Krishna. Now the armies came from Dwarka. All the Kshatriyas, they didn't belong to Rukmini's father. They belonged to Krishna and Balram. And Krishna has just established relationship with Rukmini a few moments ago. Within a few moments, Krishna is so eager to share his opulences, resources, his assets with Rukmini that he is declaring to her that these are your armies. We take such a long period of time to develop faith and trust in Krishna and acknowledging that everything belongs to Krishna. It is not that we are transferring anything to Krishna. Everything belongs to him, and after being beaten 100 times on the head, just like a criminal in the police station, after being hit 100 times, then he says, yeah, I did it. So after being hit for 1 million lifetimes on the head, then finally a devotee finally gives us some prasad and some, you know, chanting beads and this and that, and finally shakes us up, and then when the prasad goes in, then we say, yeah, I surrender. I think what you're saying is true. So tamakai is very significant, which shows Krishna's heart that we take an extremely long period of time to put trust in anyone, what to speak of with someone with whom we have just established a relationship. But Krishna is eager to share his opulences as soon as possible. You take one step, he is willing to take hundreds of steps towards us. So therefore, this is Krishna's magnanimity, Krishna's eagerness to share his mercy with us. So when we are aware that Krishna is so eager, then our eagerness to engage our senses in Krishna's service also increases. So therefore, this first principle of senses getting distracted or sense gratification is an obstacle on the path of bhakti. In New York, there was a court case. Someone made a case against ISKCON. That ISKCON is a cult. So the devotees came to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said that we have to establish it is not a cult, it is based on Shastra. So you take Srimad Bhagavatam in the courts and start arguing from the first canto, first chapter, first verse, and give a whole class on how Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, how Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when you end that, then they will not understand much. They'll ask, we couldn't understand, can you explain more? Then go to the second verse and go to the next. And in this way, you continue the court case and convert court case into Bhagavatam class. And interestingly enough, when the case began, after a few days, the judge wanted to make a final decision. He didn't know what to do. And he called up one of his friends, who was a professor in theology at Harvard. And he asked him, what to make of these Hare Krishnas? I'm confused. Is it a cult or it's bona fide and what? And that professor in theology had received a set of books from the library party. He had read Prabhupada's books. He had appreciation for Prabhupada. He said, it is absolutely bona fide. It is a very scholarly author. It's perfectly bona fide. It is not at all a cult. And just that one phone call ultimately made him give this ruling, apart from other things. So it is so important to somehow give Krishna to people. We never know who will be in a position to actually understand and judge what the Krishna consciousness movement is all about. So this is the first principle of sense gratification. The second danger is speculation. So speculation means various things. First is misgiving. Misgiving means having some kind of doubt. So now Mahaprabhu is about to travel to Vrindavan after he returns back from Jagannath Puri. So again the devotees approach Mahaprabhu and say that you must carry a servant with you. And Mahaprabhu said, I have had that once before. So he says, Nutana Sanghi Hoyvek Snigdhyaraman Aichayabe Pai Tabe Lai Ekjan. He says, I will take a servant on one condition. I will not take any of the senior men. Because if I take one of the senior men, other people will think, why did he go? Why I could not go? He got mercy. I didn't get mercy. So therefore, I want a new bhakta whom nobody knows much, nobody has much relationship. Nutana Sanghi. So he must be a new candidate, but there must be another requirement, because new candidate means he is raw, his senses are uncontrolled, mind is uncontrolled, and Kal Krishna has already had problem with uncontrolled mind and senses. So if you get a new man with uncontrolled mind and senses, it will be even more difficult. So Snigdhayaraman, his mind must be perfectly peaceful. So now how to get a new man whose mind is peaceful and senses are under control? So they found Balabhadra Bhattacharya and they told Mahaprabhu that he will accompany you. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya is serving Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan, and then there is a certain rumor which spreads in Vrindavan, and the rumor was that Krishna is appeared again and is dancing on the hoods of Kalia every night in Kalia Hrad, in the lake of Kalia. So what actually was happening was, there was a boatman, and at night
He was having a lantern. So the lantern, the light of the lantern, they considered to be jewels of Kaliya. And the boatman appeared to be like Krishna. And the boat appeared to be like the hoods. So this was what was actually happening. But the rumor became very prominent amongst the Prajavasis. And everyone was talking about it. Did you see Krishna? Did you see Krishna on Kaliya? So one day, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he came to Mahaprabhu. And Kaviraj Goswami says, Bhattacharya kahe tabe prabhura charane, agyadeha yaya kari Krishna darshane. Please give me your blessings so that I can go and have darshan of Krishna. Agyadeha yaya kari. You give me agya, I am not going independently, with full blessings only. I will go and have darshan of Krishna. So he says that. So as soon as Mahaprabhu hears this, Tave tare kahe prabhu jhapad mariya. Murkher vakya murk hoila pandit hoya. So as soon as Mahaprabhu hears this, he gives him a slap. And he says, Murkher vakya murk hoila. Because of hearing from other fools, you have become foolish. Pandit hoya. Although you are supposed to be learned. So there is no doubt, you are Bhattacharya, you are learned. But how you have become fool? By hearing speculation from others. So, there are two things. One is the cause of speculation and the other is result of speculation. What is the cause of speculation? Two things. One is hearing from relative sources. And secondly, not hearing from absolute sources. That is the cause of speculation. Prabhupada writes in the purport, because he was hearing, and they were all Brajavasis who were spreading this rumor. So if you hear from relative sources, and one does not hear from absolute source, or especially the spiritual master, and the acharyas, and the great souls, then there is a tendency to speculate. And what is the result of speculation? The result of speculation is, one considers an ordinary person to be great, and a great person to be ordinary. So here they were, the rumor was a speculation, and the result was, the boatman was considered to be Krishna, and Krishna, who is right in front of Balabhadra Bhattacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was considered to be ordinary. So normally in our devotional activities, we may come across situations when we hear someone's blasphemy, or we hear rumors about someone or something. So when we hear, and it is not confirmed, and we do not know to what extent it is true, and this and that, so there is a danger that because of hearing from such relative sources, the devotee is engaged in sincere devotional service, dedicating his life for Krishna. So we may consider sometimes an elevated soul to be ordinary. And an ordinary person we may consider to be elevated. And therefore speculation is extremely dangerous. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, a person in constant association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was influenced by the words of fools. So we can see that the first servant of Mahaprabhu, Kalakrishna Das, he fell victim to sense gratification. Then now this servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, fell victim to speculation. So we have to be extremely careful about not speculating and understanding the exact source of what we are hearing, and also not to be prematurely judgmental. Because we are staying in association of devotees, there is a tendency that we may commit offenses, and because of that, Krishna may be displeased with us, and because of which we may lose our taste in the practice of devotional service. Like Kadam Kanan Maharaj was explaining, that many times when we are preaching also, sometimes by seeing someone, we start speculating what he must be like or what his response will be like, whether he'll accept Krishna consciousness or not. Sometimes you speculate on that also. without inquiry, without understanding anything. So he says that he was actually going through a period in life where he was inquiring deep within about what is the truth. And he wanted to know about God consciousness. He was traveling in a bus. And a devotee, Hare Krishna, Maharaj was not a devotee at that time. He was in his, you know, regular clothes. And a devotee, book distributor, came on the bus and sat next to him with a book bag and started reading Bhagavad Gita. And then he saw that Maharaj is sitting right next to him. And he turned around. He thought of giving him a book. But he looked at his face and he thought that, I don't think he'll become devotee. I mean, it was very clearly, he had that kind of expression. And he gave books to few other people, but didn't give anything to him, didn't talk anything to him. He just kept quiet. And he said, because I also was not so humble that I asked him, what are you giving to everyone? You know, give it to me. He just kept quiet. And he said, because of that, I came to Hare Krishna moment 8 years after that. If he had given me then, my Krishna consciousness would have been preponed by at least 8 years. So sometimes we may think, okay, he is this, he is that, and because of that, things are delayed. Like one devotee, very interesting, he recently became a devotee. And when he first came to the temple, this was on the Pushyabhishek. He's like a colleague in one of our devotees from Seattle, Madhav Chandra Prabhu. He works in his company. So he brought him to the temple, and the first day he brought him was this year, January, in Pushyabhishek. And he had absolutely no idea about Hare Krishna movement or anything. He's coming from a pious family, but nothing about Krishna consciousness. And he didn't even warn him what Pushyabhishek festival will be like. He just said there is some flower festival. So he thought of flowers means there will be a few flowers here and there. And so the first shock he got was when he saw the temple hall. And everyone was sitting and plucking flowers, and he didn't know what to think of it. But he also sat and participated. And then when the Pushyabhishek began and the flowers abhishek was over, and then what happened was that he didn't know that ultimately everyone throws on each other. And that last part stunned him totally. That everyone was throwing on flowers on each other and they were hitting big bunches of flowers. And he's used to a very peaceful, non-violent life. And he was thinking, this is, I mean, in a temple, this kind of activity I've never seen before. Temple means maximum you fold your hands, utter a few prayers silently, and the only sound is that of the bell, which is allowed. And this is throwing flowers right in front of the deities on each other, and he's totally confused. And he was standing right there in that corner. And I saw, you know, from the altar, I was checking out what is his state, because I knew he's a new person. And he had glasses also, and there were, you know, a few flowers stuck on his glasses. And he was looking at everyone through that vision. And then, ultimately, some bunch of flowers right in front of me came and hit him. And then I saw that he looked here and there, left and right, and he had never done it before. He picked up a bunch and started. And I met him after the program and I said, you really got into it. He said, oh, you saw me? I was very shy, but I thought everyone is doing, let me also start. And he started that, and the next day after that, he started chanting 4 rounds. And now he's come up to 8 rounds and he's organizing so many programs. When we went to Seattle, he called us twice at his house and organized programs. So the other devotee was telling that when we saw him, we never thought he's ever going to become, because he was so conservative and had so many other ideas. And, you know, he had such opinions about Hare Krishna movement. But we can never speculate on this. What is going to happen? Who is going to take? And, you know, who is advancing? Who is not advancing? How he's going to advance? We cannot judge. It's not possible. So the second principle of speculation is misunderstanding. So there is misunderstanding which is created. And we have the example of Krishna ate the dirt, Mrida Bhakshan Leela. And when Krishna ate the dirt, Mother Yashoda, she told Krishna, you open your mouth. And Krishna opened his mouth and all the different universes, all the different elements, they were seen within Krishna's mouth. And sunor tanor viksha vidaritasye, in her child's body, in her child's form, sunor, sunoh tanor, in the form of Krishna, viksha, Yashodamai saw, vidaritasye, in that open mouth. What did she see? Vrajam sahatmanam avapashankam. She saw not only all the different elements of creation, she saw all the different jivas, swabhava lingashya karma bheda, all of the karmas, lingas. She saw the material energy, she saw the jivatmas in different varieties, and she also saw Vrindavan, and she also saw herself. So when she saw that, she was totally bewildered. Kim swapna etat uta deva mayam, and she started speculating. She started thinking, it is a dream? Is it some dev maya? Is it some kind of bewilderment of my intelligence? Then finally she understands, atho amushyeva mamarbhakasya, that this is actually my son's mystic potency. Yah kashchana utpattika atma yoga. This is the mystic power being demonstrated by my son. And at that point, she speaks two very beautiful verses. And the first one she says, Atho yathavan na vitarka gocharam cheta mana karma yata pratiyate. So she says that there is no point speculating. Atho yathavan na vitarka gocharam. With all my tarka, with all my logic, I am trying to understand what exactly is the problem with my son. Because she is concerned as a mother for Krishna's protection. And the reason she asked Krishna to open his mouth was because for a child to eat dirt is not good for him. So she expected to see some dirt in Krishna, which was problem enough, and she landed up seeing the whole universe. So it was like, from her point of view, like a major gigantic problem. Something was wrong with her son. And there was some problem with his security. What will happen to him? But the problem was so huge, beyond her comprehension, that she says, Atho yathava na vitarka gocharam. There is no point speculating, contemplating, reasoning, arguing, or meditating on this problem. So Prabhupada mentions all of these in the purport. Sometimes the problem is so big and so sudden and so unique that in spite of all speculation, contemplation, reasoning, argument and meditation, we cannot understand how this problem actually happened. Beautiful purport Prabhupada gives. So this particular problem, so in this purport, Prabhupada gives the whole analysis of when we are in problem, how to go about it. And he mentions with a thread of four verses. Prabhupada was in his last days in Vrindavan when these purports he was writing. But his thinking is so clear. Anytime we have any difficulty, we just have to refer to these four verses. And these four verses Prabhupada just ties up as a thread and connects and gives the solution. So as far as the problem part, he says that the first step is to realize achintya khalue bhava natam starkena yoje. This is the first verse Prabhupada quotes. That when there is a problem, you should know that many times the situation is achintya, inconceivable. Natam starkena yoje. We cannot understand by speculation, contemplation, reasoning, argument or meditation. We can't understand. Achintya khalve bhava. So what is the solution? The solution is, as the verse says, yadashrayam yena yata praviyate sudurvibhavyam pranatasmi tat padam. Sudurvibhavyam pranatasmi. Yashoda Mai says, let me simply offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. Sudurvibhavyam pranatasmi tat padam. Let me offer my obeisances unto the lotus feet of that Supreme Personality. Pranatasmi. So the solution is, we must surrender to the Supreme by, number one, realizing His greatness and offering our obeisances. So for this, Prabhupada quotes another verse. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So when we have a problem and we are trying to understand the cause of this problem and we become bewildered, we should remember that we may or may not be able to understand the immediate cause, but Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes is Krishna. So this is the solution. Understanding that, offer obeisances. Surrender. Right? Respect. So then you realize that the solution ultimately gives rise to the third thing, and that is result. So we have the problem, we have the solution, and the result. What is the result? Well, the surrender to Krishna gives three results. And he says, first one is knowledge. Knowledge. And what is that knowledge? Prabhupada quotes the third verse. Tattenu kampa susumikshamano bhunjano evatma kritam vipakam hridvak viparvir vidadhan namaste jivetayo muktipade sadayabha. He says that tattenu kampa means ultimately whatever is happening is because of my own misdeeds. So that knowledge. Knowledge that ultimately I am not the supreme controller, but I am also responsible for this. And the knowledge that Krishna is very mercifully reducing my miseries. So knowledge of these things. Then the second thing which develops is tolerance as a result of surrender. So jnana and sahishnuta, tolerance. And then Prabhupada quotes another verse. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhada. So that means we respect Krishna for minimizing, and that is followed by continuous performance of our duties. Okay, the problem may have been there. I understand that I am also responsible for that, but I should continue serving like that. Then the third thing he describes is come in the next verse. Aham mamasam patiresham esuto vrajeshwarasya khila vittapasati gopyascha gopa sahagodhanascha me yanmayayetham kumati samegati. So Yashodama is saying the third principle is detachment or renunciation. So knowledge, tolerance and detachment. These three manifest as a result of surrender. Yashodama is praying, Aham mamasau. I was under the conception of I, me and mine. I was thinking Nanda Maharaj is my husband. He is the king of Vraja. So I am the queen of Vraja. Vrajeshwarasya akhila vittapa. And he is the controller and owner of all the cows and the property of Braj. And therefore everything belongs to me. Gopyascha gopa saha godhanas. So I was thinking all the cows and the cowherd men and other cowherd ladies, because they are subjects of Nanda Maharaj, I am like their queen. But yan mayaya ittham kumati samegati. By the Lord's mercy, here mayaya refers to mercy. By His grace it has been revealed that this kind of thinking is kumati. So I simply have to take His shelter, megati. So therefore, renunciation and detachment from the principle that I am the enjoyer, I am the owner, or I am the protector. And Prabhupada quotes verses for that. Bhoktara migata pasam, janasya mohoyam, balasya neha sharanam. So he just connected all of these verses together in a beautiful purport. So the result is, ultimately we realize Krishna is the controller, Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is the owner, and Krishna is the protector. And with this, we are actually able to experience the ultimate benefit of problem solving. We solve temporarily one problem, but another problem will come. But the ultimate goal of problem solving should be to bring us to this realization. Then there is success of the problem. Like in archaeology, there is a concept called archaeological forensics. That means you look at an object which is excavated, and based on that, you try to analyze what the civilization would be like, or why this particular object was made and the purpose behind it, and connect to various things. So when we see this material world, and there are so many miseries in this world, it should give us the realization why this world is created, why there are problems here. So for example, if I look at a college or a school, like when I was studying in IIT, there were many students who had not cleared their BTEC even after 8 years. They were into a double BTEC program after 8 years also. And many of them typically had like long beards, long hair, and they were moving around the campus like sages. And before exams, you know, students would be in great anxiety studying and wondering whether we'll pass or not. And these fellows would be going blessing everyone, right? Don't worry, look at us. Nothing has happened. You know, we have taken a vow. We have given a challenge to the institute. Nobody can pass us. Why are you in so much of anxiety? Just relax. So now the success of a school or a college is what? Is it that as many students they are able to retain? Or is it as many students they are able to pass? Like recently we had excellent results from Gopal Garden School. We have Raghunath Charan Prabhu sitting here, so I was reminded. Govind Prabhu was in great ecstasy in America. Everywhere he was telling so many people. And he was telling SSC results was great. And everyone said, what is SSC? He said, no, I mean, it's exams. And everyone got fantastic marks. So how many people you are able to clear? That is the success of a school. What is the success of a hospital? Is not how many patients they can keep for as long as they want. Is how soon they are able to cure them and they are able to move on. Right? So therefore, in our travels, Govind Prabhu was making a very nice statement always. The material world is there for exit, not for exist. It is not there to exist, but to exit. It is not there just to sit, but to leave. So when you see a problem, ultimately that should bring us to the idea that yes, that this is the ultimate purpose. And that's why when a potter, he makes a pot, he needs the clay because he doesn't allow even a single bubble to stay inside. If a bubble stays inside the clay, when you are firing it, it will burst. So therefore the Lord has to knead our consciousness, and for that he has to put us sometimes through various kinds of experiences which may appear to be problematic or miserable to us. But there is a purpose behind it. So that's the whole idea, that certain situations may appear in such a way we misunderstand. And that is part of the speculation. Like that. So, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, what if everyone becomes Krishna conscious? Everyone comes to the movement. Everyone becomes Hare Krishna. What will happen? And Prabhupada said, don't worry. There will always be fools like you who will never take it. So that is like a typical argument that why we should take. Everyone will become, then everyone will become impractical. What will happen to the world? That is never going to happen. So Prabhupada was on a walk and then he saw a garbage can. And it was in Mexico and something was written in Spanish. And Prabhupada asked one devotee, what is written on this garbage can? And he said, it is written, garbage can, throw the trash in here. Prabhupada said, oh, we'll have to throw the whole material world here. So the purpose of the material world is ultimately to give us idea that yes, we are not meant to be here. And so through this beautiful pastime of Mother Yashoda looking into Krishna's mouth, Prabhupada brings out these concepts in the purport. So I'll read from Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada says, one simply has to realize the greatness of Supreme Personality of Godhead, not try to understand him by material means, subtle or gross. And he paraphrases Yashoda Mai's feelings in the purport. My endeavor to protect my son by charity and other auspicious activities are useless, because so many demons were coming, and again Yashoda Mai was engaging the Brahmins in mantras, doing charity, this, that, so many things. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has given me many things, but unless He takes charge of everything, there is no assurance of protection. So this is a very beautiful principle. And the third idea of speculation is one makes mistake. And that speculation may result in some kind of mistake. And we have the story that how Brahmaji, he was seeing the events in Vrindavan and seeing the killing of various demons and the kind of liberation they were getting. And then certain events of Krishna's dealings with his cowherd boys, Brahmaji started speculating and he wanted to test Krishna's power. Evam sammohayan Vishnu vimoham vishvamohayan swayaiva maya jopi swayam eva vimohita. And he got bewildered because of that. He made a mistake because of this speculation. And just after Agasur is killed, Ittham dvija yadava devadatta shrutva swaratum charitam vichitram. As soon as Parikshit Maharaj hears about Agasur's deliverance, he is in ecstasy. And the word used here is Ittham dvija yadava devadatta shrutva swaratum charitam vichitram. Yadava devadatta. Parikshit Maharaj is referred to as Yadava devadatta, as one who has donated by the protector of the Yadavas. He was Parikshit Maharaj's life was a donation because he had already been killed by the Brahmastra. But Krishna came and revived him. Shrutva swaratu charitam vichitram. Swaratu means hearing about his protectors. Charitra vichitra. Parikshit Maharaj remembered that just like Krishna entered into the womb of Agasur and protected all of his cowherd boys, he was in ecstasy remembering his own birth, that I was also in the similar situation. And yes, this is consistent with Krishna's quality. He protected me. And that he has protected just for saving one soul, insignificant fallen soul like me, he entered into my mother's womb and protected me. What to speak of millions of his associates who are so dear to him, Brajavasis, if they enter into Agasur's womb, why will he not protect? Definitely, it is perfect. So both Parikshit Maharaj and Brahmaji are witnessing this pastime, but both the reaction is different. Here, Parikshit Maharaj is filled with gratitude and Brahmaji has forgotten because of momentary covering potency of the Lord. And because of forgetfulness, he starts speculating. So therefore, when we are grateful and remember, one of the meanings of Krita Gya means to remember Gya, what has been done for us. Then we will be protected from speculating and making mistakes. So the verse says, Krishna Brahmana Adesham Satyam Kartum Vacho Hari. That Hari appeared to perform pastimes in Vrindavan, Saharamo Vasams Chakre Tesham Pritim Swalilaya. The beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan, Pritim Swalilaya, were performed on Krishna Brahmana Adesham. Krishna appeared on Brahma's Adesh. One verse says, at the end of, when the Krishna shows universal form to Mother Yashoda, one of the verses in the end says, Krishna Brahmana Adesham. Krishna appeared on Brahmaji's order. And Brahmaji is seeing those same pastimes. And then he gets into forgetfulness. So therefore, this is very important that we are always prone to forgetfulness. And when there is forgetfulness, there is always a chance for committing a mistake like that. So, very interesting principle. And like somebody was telling the story, Prabhupada was coming to Chicago and the temple president made elaborate arrangements. Sri Govinda Prabhu was the president and he made arrangements that as soon as Prabhupada enters, the door would open. As soon as Prabhupada would open the door, there was a connection with a whole canopy filled with flowers, and that would open and the flowers would fall on Prabhupada. And that was the arrangement. So Prabhupada, he came walking, and as Prabhupada was about to open the door, suddenly there was a lady with a small child standing there. And as soon as that lady came and the child was running, and Prabhupada thought that if the child bangs against the door, it will not be good. So Prabhupada immediately opened the door. and the child went running in, and the lady went running behind, and all the flowers fell on them. And Prabhupada was standing behind. And Prabhupada turned around, and all the devotees were angry. And they were shouting at this, you know, lady, saying, "Why did you do like this? Failed our whole plan." And Prabhupada said, "In this way my movement is going on." So we may have so many plans, we may have so many things, but at that point, Prabhupada was very, very aware of the etiquette and what must be done. And this is the third point, and that is strictness. Sometimes you are extremely strict on how things should be done. This is the only way, not this way, not that way. So therefore, sense gratification, speculation, and strictness. And in this, there are so many wonderful points we can make. Like, for example, the Brahmins. The Brahmins' wife recognized the cowherd boys, but not the Brahmins. And we can see that as long as we are tied by a certain way in which Krishna must manifest, then we cannot sometimes recognize Krishna. So the yajna was in a certain way, and they thought yajna or satisfying Krishna means in this stereotyped fashion. But Krishna wanted to be satisfied in a different way. He sent the boys. And according to the rule books, they couldn't understand. Therefore, the first thing is rules, attachment to the rules. Like someone was telling us that in San Diego, the devotees were trying to cultivate Indian families. And they found that as soon as they would tell them about Hare Krishna, they would say, no, we are not interested in your kirtan, you know. Sankirtan yagya, I know, but we want the traditional yagya, fire yagya. That is what we believe in. So they started one, you know, setup where one devotee would go and perform yagyas in different Indians' homes to impress them that, okay, we are also bona fide, authentic, with the fire yagya, and then try to connect them. So one Indian gentleman, he said, "I want a really big yagya." So this devotee made a big yagya, and the fire was so much, the fire alarm went off, and the sprinkler system, which throws water, it began, and the whole house became flooded with water. And this man was very angry. He said, "What did you do? You messed up my whole house." And this devotee took out Gita and said, "Result of yagya is rainfall." So what do you think? And he was impressed. I said, "Wow." And he started coming to the temple. And then, gradually now, he's like a regular devotee, practicing Krishna consciousness. But initially, the conception is something different. Yagya means these must be the rules. The second is regulations. Like, we have a certain idea that these are the regulations. This is right, this is wrong, this is correct, this is not correct. And Yashoda Mai, when she was giving charity to all the Brahmins, Krishna was under the cart and he was crying and she couldn't hear. So Krishna was crying and she couldn't hear because Brahmanas were chanting and she was busy in distributing charity. So ultimately, sometimes when we are into various kinds of regulations, there is also a fear that we may not be able to actually hear or understand how to please Krishna at that particular moment. And the third principle is restrictions. Restrictions means this is the maximum which can be done and this cannot be done. This is also part of strictness. So when Pratapradhar Maharaj saw the devotees honoring Prasad, as soon as they enter into Jagannath Puri, he was bewildered. He asked Sarvambhatta, "What is going on? Upavasa kshaura tirthera vidhan." One is supposed to fast and shave. So Sarvam Bhattacharya said, "Ishwarera paroksha agya kshaura uposhan, Ishwarera sakshat agya prasada bhojan." So Lord's paroksha agya, indirect through the Shastra, he says fast. But here Mahaprabhu, personally present, he is saying eat. So then he says that taha upavasa yaha nahi mahaprasad, prabhur agya prasada tyage hoy aprad. That you should do fasting when there is no prasad. But Lord is personally saying, take prasad, and Mahaprabhu is personally serving Mahaprasad. And at that point someone says, "I am fasting." Then that becomes aprad. That is offense. Like that. Like Prabhupada was distributing prasad in a train. And he was giving different devotees, you know, one of the sweets. And then one devotee, as soon as he was about to receive, Prabhupada had his hand like that. He asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, is this offered?" Prabhupada said, you need not have. So, restriction means we should know how much to go and when and how. And many times we may not understand. Like when Govind Prabhu and myself were about to go to London, we were carrying Sanjeev Agarwal Prabhu's deities. He told us to bring those deities because Devamrita Prabhu was leaving next day and he wanted to welcome the deities in his presence. So we were carrying it as hand baggage, you know, Gauranitha deities, Gauranga, Nityananda, both. So when we were going to take our boarding pass, so this attendant, Virgin Atlantic, she said, hey, what is this? And we said, this is our Bhagwan we are carrying. I said, it is made of what? It's a marble. No, you can't carry. It is against the rules and everything. So if the security allows, then I will allow. So we called the security personnel. And they said, they saw our dress and they saw we are from Hare Krishna and they knew some devotees and said, no problem. From security point of view, no problem. And she said, no, no, still I will not allow because it is against our rules. So then one more devotee came who was working in Air India. He also came and started arguing, come on, understand the spirit of the rule. Why all these rules are there? Why these restrictions are there? They're not going to do anything with this. And you can keep it with you also. No, 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 these are my rules. These are the restrictions we can't allow. And he looked at us and said, next time never fly Virgin Atlantic. Always fly Air India. We allow all Bhagwans to fly. No problem at all. And when she heard that, she got a little bewildered and said, okay, wait, I will go and ask my pilot. And she asked the pilot and she came back after 20 minutes and said, okay, we are allowing them to fly, but it won't be in your possession. It will be in another place. So we went to the, about to board the flight, she came and said, okay, give me these. I will carry these with me. And I was thinking whether I should give or not. And Govind Prabhu said, give it. She'll get purified. So she carried and brought those two Gauranithai, the Gauranga and Nityananda, one more attendant was carrying, and they took them to business class, and in business class there was a special cabin, and both Gauranithai traveled business class to London. So, you know, she understood the spirit, but, you know, the Air India personnel had a lot to do with that. And they got a little shaken up when he said that, you know. And they thought maybe the news will spread all over ISKCON and we lose customers or something. So these are the three principles I wanted to discuss about obstacles on devotional service, sense gratification, speculation, and strictness. And in the association of devotees with the right guidance, we get the right balance on how to progress on this path. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Itai Gaur Premanande.